Hey friend, you are in for a treat with this episode. But you probably already knew that if you've heard any of our previous episodes with this week's guest, Rachel Casillas. Also, this is Rachel Unfiltered. And by unfiltered, I just mean that I didn't go back and edit out all the cuss words. So if your ears are delicate, or if you have a passenger in your car and maybe their ears are delicate, save this episode for another day. That being said, you are going to want to make sure to come back and give this episode a listen. Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jujitsu and maybe dogs and cats and whatever else. I'm Jen Eads, a blue belt full of curiosity and lots of other things.
Lots of things. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jujitsu black belt obsessed with jujitsu.
I'm Jennifer Isser. I'm a brown belt who dabbles in doing warm-ups.
And our special guest?
I'm Rachel Casillas, and I am a black belt under Greg Casillas and Robert Drysdale.
Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you.
Welcome back for, like, I don't know how many episodes this is now.
Yeah, I think I was looking earlier, and I think there's at least 3 interviews and 2 where we do some Q&A at camp.
Yeah. But let's be honest, my name gets brought up a lot.
So welcome to the Rachel Casillas show.
We joked one time that I should change my introduction to that I was obsessed with Rachel Casillas.
I am adorable when I'm not grumpy.
When this podcast comes out, it'll be your birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'll be 45. So there you go. My kids think I'm really old.
Crazy. You're only like 6 months older than me. So yeah, I get that.
Fun.
We do have a special announcement that you will be returning to Role Model Camp this year.
Yay! Yes. Yay!
That did not sound as excited as we are.
I'll fix that.
One of our students, like 2 nights ago, was like, okay, you don't have to tell me, but like, is Rachel coming back or no? Did she say she can't do it, or is she coming back? Is she not coming? And the way she kept asking enabled me to just keep shaking my head no, so that I like wasn't really lying to her, but also wasn't telling her. She's like, can you tell me? Is she coming back?
That's what Rissa and I say is equivocating. We equivocated. We didn't lie, but we didn't really tell the truth either. So it's fine. It's all fine.
Was it Abby?
It was low.
As long as I'm feeling okay, I will make sure that I'm there. And I'm feeling pretty good. They've today being an exception, I'm not having a great day today. But that was because I had to take my medicine. I'd been putting it off for about 4 weeks, and I needed to take it. So I took it yesterday. And so I usually feel a little crappy for a couple of days with it. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty good. So both physically and mentally, and as long as I can still provide a good quality instruction session, then I'll continue to show up to teach. So
let's talk about how you're feeling a little bit. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, we thought it would be your last camp. You weren't feeling well. You weren't at your best. And you were like, I think this is my last one. And then you started improving and feeling better. So can you tell us a little bit about like what's changed?
Also, can you go back and catch us up if somebody's new to the podcast and let them know what's going on?
First of all, on a funny side story, my daughter plays travel club volleyball, which is basically a name for really expensive sports team thing. Anyway, we're looking at doing nationals, which is in June in Orlando, and her team's pretty good, and the coach wanted to put like together like someone be a team mom to work at getting like the hotel bookings together, all this stuff, whatever. And I just chimed in and said, hey, we go to Orlando a lot for tournaments. These are some ideas of places to stay, you know, and it can be done affordably. I mean, it can be done high end, of course, going to Disney, but it can be done affordably. And then one of the other moms is like, oh, I think we found our team mom. And I was like, oh, fuck no. I was like, first of all, oh, I'm not supposed to know. I was like, no. And then I put, Just FYI, I forget things. If you know, you know. And then one lady's like, oh, we all forget things. And then the other ladies who know that I have a condition are like, no, 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 no. Let's not start making fun of the Alzheimer's patients.
Not like that.
Not like that, bro. Anyway, it was funny. I just sat back and let it burn. It was hilarious.
Wait, which dog is that?
That is Peppermint, the Yorkie. I put the other two are outside. I figured she might be calm. But, you know, that's how this morning's gone. So, anyway, I'll just talk about what my diagnosis is so people have an idea. I was diagnosed the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, middle of 2021, because there was a lot of testing, with major neurodegenerative disorder caused by young onset Alzheimer's. It's a long version of saying that I have Alzheimer's and I'm young, and they diagnosed it. And I've had some rough months with it towards the beginning. And then also the year afterwards, the first year afterwards, I've tried a lot of different treatments. Unfortunately, a lot of clinical trials I'm not eligible for because I'm too young. They don't start till you're 50. And so they don't want to put me in because then I'd be like an outlier and I skew the numbers and everything. And that's, I mean, I get that from a scientific research standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, I was like, I'd like to get better too. But I found a very good doctor who sort of coordinates between my neurologists and other doctors. And we have tried lots of different treatments, everything from 5-hour NAD drips to electroid like neurofeedback with these little things stuck on my head to different types of medication, getting on medication, getting off medication, different things. So right now I'm feeling pretty good. I got off of medication in December that I think was adding to my fatigue. I don't think it was helping enough for my brain and adding too much to my fatigue. So I feel better about that. That's helpful. The medication I'm on right now is not, let's just put it this way. I'm taking it what they say is off label, which means it was not made and approved by the FDA for the reason that I'm taking it for my Alzheimer's. However, there is a big study, it's been going on for like the last 5 or 6 years out of Oxford University in England that I'd followed for about a year before I approached my doctor about getting on the medication. And he was all for it. He's like, let's try it. Because there's a new Alzheimer's drug that was FDA approved last July. It begins with an L, and I'm sorry, I don't remember how to pronounce it. But it was fast-tracked. And I'm not a big fan of that for several reasons. But some of the side effects are that it causes brain bleeding and brain swelling. And I'm like, I don't want to try that right now. So that's sort of why I went this other route that was a little less mainstream approved. But there's still the research behind it. It's just not here in the U.S. And all that really means for me is that my insurance won't pay for it. So I have to pay out of pocket for it. And it's not cheap, but it's worth, I think, what it's helping me do. The problem, though, is that it makes me very, very sick, because I'm taking it for a reason that most people do not take it for. So I'm sick for about 4 or 5 days. You're supposed to take it once a week. I take it about once a month, and I take a very low dose. I take it about 3.5 weeks because it makes me very sick, sick to my stomach, just very sick. But right now, my husband and I, we've discussed that it's worth it. So I want to continue on it, at least for a little bit. I do think it's helping because a lot of people probably don't know, but like the last 20 to 30 years of research in Alzheimer's treatment has actually been proven to be a fraud. So the main base research study that everyone based all their research studies off for the last 3 decades came out last year or the year before, sorry, like a year and a half ago, and was proven to be fraudulent. The guy just made it up. So it has to do with the beta amyloid in the tau proteins in your brain. And so basically all the research that was done after that was based on false data. So that's why no one's really made any progress, because it was all wrong. But there is a doctor, his name's Dr. Bredesen, and he wrote the book, The End of Alzheimer's, and he is doing a lot of good research and branching out to some things that would not have been considered contributing to Alzheimer's. he actually thinks there's 36 different causes to Alzheimer's. So that's a lot. And it could, depending on what's causing yours, is how you should treat it. So it's not really a one fix thing for everybody. But if anyone's listening and wants more information about it, I would follow Dr. Bredesen. I do follow him. I've read his books. I go down the rabbit holes that he posts about. It has a lot to do with people's diets. The funny thing is it's not necessarily the bad things that I had in my diet, but my diet wasn't great to begin with. But the other thing is that my doctor, my neurologist probably do believe that my job, sorry, Risser, contributed to my early onset of my symptoms showing up earlier than most people, because I had to keep track of every 6 minutes of my time. It was not probably the bestest job for me to be in, given my head issues. Now, the only way they can affirmatively diagnose a lot of the different types of Alzheimer's, frontal, temporal, visceral, whatever, is after you die, they dissect your brain, right? So right now, everyone's just guessing what type of Alzheimer's people have. And if I were to guess, I would guess that my maternal grandfather had frontal temporal. He had Alzheimer's, but he would do things that are inappropriate. And that's more like pinch the old ladies at like the senior center. And that's more towards frontal temporal type of Alzheimer's, right? He got banned from the senior center for that. So there's lots of different types. And so everyone's just giving their best guess. And I'm open to all information. When people send me stuff, they're like, you might have type 3 diabetes. You're like, I might. We'll look into it. You know, it's all the sort of things. It's all kind of interrelated with the brain. But that's sort of where I'm at right now. I'm feeling better. I am on that medication. I'm doing some other things as well. But that's why I agreed to come back to teach, is that I think I can teach at a high level. And not just for like the 3 hours and then crash. I think I'll be available. I think I'm coming in Thursday, right, AJ?
Yes. Yeah.
So can I say that I'm going to teach Thursday night? Or is that a secret?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
if you want to teach Thursday night.
Yeah. So, AJ and I talked about it, but I didn't know, like, there's always, AJ's like, don't say this yet. I'm like, I don't know. Don't tell the Alzheimer's person not to reveal secrets.
I was going to say, just to be clear, for the most part, I don't tell you anything anymore that can't be told.
That's wonderful, because I for sure will spill the beans. So yeah, there's some things that I've held in confidence and it was really hard. I was like, but most of the time I'm like, ooh, someone told me something. Let me tell somebody else. So sometimes I tell them 3 times because I forgot that I told them. Anyway, yes, I'm teaching at Role Model Base Camp in July. So everyone should be there and get signed up.
And it will be your 11th time teaching at our Role Model Camp, because we've had 11 camps and you've been at every one of them.
Yay.
That doesn't count Costa Rica though, right?
That's correct.
I've been at all those too, bitches. Sorry. Sorry, Jen, you're going to have to bleep everything out.
Oh, I'm prepared.
And this is me tired, so like.
Maybe this is Beauty and the Gee after dark.
Although I'm pretty sure you all had to bleep it out the first time you interviewed me. I was actually in my law firm, I remember, the first time, my new law firm. And And I remember it. I was waiting for you to ask me what my favorite color was, because you'd asked all the other instructors. I think I was the last instructor. And you didn't ask me, and I was very sad. And then I just was like, my favorite color is chartreuse. It's not chartreuse, but I just wanted to say that.
And you wanted me to have to spell it. That's because we were like dropping clues.
Yes.
And you.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm pretty sure I was just being a dick. I was like, what's something that no one.
Such a brat.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about Costa Rica, tell us what your favorite part about teaching at the Costa Rica campus.
Oh, I love Costa Rica. I like meeting the new people from like everywhere. We had people from Hawaii. We have people from Canada. It's great. But I'm not going to lie, my favorite part is the kids' classes. I really enjoy teaching the kids' classes there and helping. I wouldn't say teaching. I enjoy helping with the kids' classes because I don't speak any Spanish. I love that part of it. And I also like that we do things outside of the gym together as a group. That's fun. Like the first year I was not able to do a lot of the excursions or the activities with you all because I would sleep in between sessions. We did a lot of two-a-days that year, and I had to rest in between sessions. Ray wasn't there that year, and I'm pretty sure I had COVID on top of my Alzheimer's. So I spent most of that time resting. But once I was able to participate and do fun things, I enjoy that because you get to know the people that have come on a different level. Like, I know I enjoy going on the boat with the people because I can talk to them for a longer period of time than, hey, how was lunch? You know, sorry you got gee burned. So it's good to get to know people.
really getting to know them deep.
Yeah, right. So I'm glad that I think a lot of them are coming to base camp, at least the women, of course, this year that I talked to. So,
yeah, I think all of the women that were in Costa Rica are going to be at base camp. So
have a nice little reunion. That's awesome.
Yay.
Exactly.
Are we supposed to wear our rash guards?
We should. I'm not sure. We'll haven't see. Planned out the...
I do what I want anyway, so it's fine.
Maybe that's Thursday night.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Because then Thursday night, our guys could wear them too, and they'd like that.
Yes. They feel bad when they're not included.
They do. Poor guys.
Welcome to the last 100 years of our life as women.
Yeah. So what's your favorite part about teaching at our base camp?
Oh, usually the fear in all the new people's eyes because they've heard stuff and they're waiting for my session. That's always fun.
I have been warning people that...
That what?
That Mean Rachel's back.
Mean Rachel. Well, yeah, so that's the other thing. Now that I got off this one medicine, and it was a running joke that, like, my girls would be like, Rachel, Alzheimer's made her nicer, like, kinder, gentler. And I don't know if it was the Alzheimer's or if it was just the fatigue or this medicine, the one medicine they had me on. Because I would say I was ambivalent. I was just like, meh, all right. Which is not a good way to be one way or the other. But yeah, I got off this medicine in like December, and old Rachel has come roaring back. So much so that Ray is like, you've got to be less confrontational. I'm like, nope, no, I don't. It's who I am. So it is.
Wait, do I need to rethink my going to the intensive?
No, you should absolutely not rethink going to the intensives. Are going to be fun anyway. Okay. But yeah, so it's, I can see it now more. The other day at open mat, last Sunday, was it this? It was Sunday. It was this past Sunday. It was the last open mat before our team left for PANS. And there was two black, I was leaving. I was going to leave. I had already changed. But there was two black belts, one of my female black belts and one of our male black belts rolling. And there were two white belts doing no-gi. They were just spazzy, like really close to them, like, bleh. And my black belt cast said, hey, watch out. And she said it twice to them. And I was walking off the mat because I went to say goodbye to my husband. And she said it twice, and I heard it. Like, so, and I wasn't super close, and they didn't. They kept just like, bleh, like rolling and getting real close like they were going to kick him in the head. And so I lost my shit. And I was like, hey, like I yelled. Everybody stopped. And I was told him to move the fuck over, right? And mainly because, like, I have two black belts that are going to PANS. They're two black belts. Like, we abide by the rule, like, hey, if you're low belt, move out of the way. Unless you're, you know, in a crazy position and the other people, like, black belts are just dicking around, right? We'll move. I move for people all the time. But these two clearly weren't. And apparently I was loud enough to where everybody stopped. But so then afterwards, Ray was like, you shouldn't have yelled. I was like, no. Like, they didn't listen when it was said in a normal tone of voice. They sure as hell did listen when I said it in my loud voice, and they moved. So there's nothing wrong with the way I presented it. I was not an ass about it. I did not cuss at them. I just said it loudly and assertively, and people get grumpy about that. But, and Ray was like, oh, God, she's back. I was like, yep, I'm back.
Guess who's back?
Right.
Back again.
Exactly.
So. I distracted us from the original question, which was, what do you like most about teaching at base camp?
Other than the fear of the people, I love seeing the same people like that I've seen over the years. That's always fun. And I like seeing the other instructors. I'm not going to lie. I like being there to see everyone else teach. I always learn something, whether it's the way they deliver a technique, whether it's a warm-up they do or their philosophy on a position or jiu-jitsu in general. I really enjoy that. I don't think enough upper belts put themselves in a position to learn. And I think that is to their detriment. So I enjoy going and being a student. I attend every session. every technique session and every, I really try to be at every of the workshops. There was a couple years, I know, I think I had to take a nap in the afternoon on that Friday, but I don't think I'll have to this year. I don't remember if I had to last year, but I really try to make sure that I show up for all those sessions for people because that's important.
I think you're right. I think a lot of upper belts, I don't know if it's ego or, you know, like, do they feel like they know things they don't have to learn, or if they're embarrassed that they don't know the things. But I do think, you know, like, it's really cool that we usually have like a dozen black belts at camp. And for the most part, a lot of them are attending other sessions. I've definitely been at like other people's camps where none of the black belts were attending any session but their own. And that just stinks, especially when you know that they're there. Like, they're on site, but they're not participating. And that just sucks.
Yeah, I don't like that at all for a lot of reasons. One, I think people get an ego when they get to brown and black belt. You have to have some sort of an ego in jiu-jitsu, but I think they get an ego that stops them from learning. First of all, you get a black belt, you don't know everything in jiu-jitsu. And if you say you do, you're full of shit. So, like, you just don't. Like, I get my third degree. I'll probably have it before I end up at camp, which means I've been a black belt 9 years. And I'm learning shit all the time. Ray teaches, and I was like, oh, I should have probably known that. I didn't know it. So, you know. And it's not just from Ray, you know. It's from other people. Ray's my husband, for people who don't know that. He's a fourth degree black belt. But, like, I enjoy going to other people's sessions and learning from them. That doesn't make me any less of a black belt. It doesn't make me any less of a world champion because I can admit that I don't know something. I think it makes me a better instructor and definitely a better teacher, coach. My husband did a blog post about the difference between an instructor and a coach, and I think it helps me be a better at both of them. I have brown belts that like leg entanglements, like, a lot. And one came and was like, hey, I have this question about this. And this is before they said the Aoki lock was illegal in gi, because it's technically a heel hook. But this was like last year. She came to me. She's like, what about this position if you're inverted in the Aoki lock? And I was like, I don't know. I was going to cuss, but I didn't. I was like, let's ask Alex, because he's the leg lock guru, right? But I've seen people just make up fucking answers there. And that doesn't help our sport. And it doesn't help you be a better instructor or a better coach. So for me, I have no problem saying, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Let's ask someone who might. So,
yeah, I agree. And like sometimes in class, I'll just be like, I don't know, let's try it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, nope, don't do that.
Exactly.
That didn't go well.
Exactly. Like, I think we had a little bit of that at camp in Costa Rica. I think someone asked me, he's like, why wouldn't you go there? And I was like, let's see. And they're like, nope, she just got choked. That's not the way I would roll.
So in talking about enjoying learning from other people, tell us who, like, someone that is one of your favorite people that you've gotten to learn from in the past.
Probably much to Robert's dismay, but I'm going to say Michelle Nicolini. I just enjoyed her. She was kind of angry like I was in our youth. You know, we were a little grumpy and we both calmed down a little bit. But I liked the fight she had in her and her level of detail and instruction. I think I say that because she taught a lot of guard retention stuff when I was a lower belt. And I really come to appreciate the level of intricacy in some of those drills that I didn't know, that I couldn't grasp when I was a lower belt. And the fact that once you are good at retaining your guard, you're not afraid to try a submission or try a sweep or go for a different position because you're confident in your ability to get back to whatever guard you want to get back to. So I would probably say, I know she taught towards the early years of Role Model twice, right? I believe she taught.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've enjoyed learning from her. I enjoy learning from Emily Kwok. She has a lot of conceptual things that I can relate to.
I love learning from Michelle too. And I remember asking her, I did a couple privates with her when she taught for camp. And I remember, like, what I wanted to focus on was getting back to guard. And she's like, what you actually want to focus on is retaining guard to begin with. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's a better way. Yeah. So we've actually been, and it's funny, I may actually post this on So we, you and I talked, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, it might have been yesterday. I have memory issues. About me maybe posting a couple of videos on the role model page. I had a video I taught this Sunday of, it's site control month for us. But I taught a variation of like, when people are passing to site control to a variation of a turtle position that I go to. It's not a traditional turtle. I don't like traditional turtle, but it's like a variation of that to be able to regain my guard, to be able to retain my guard. And it's basically the same conversation that we talked about. I was like, I want to be able to retain my guard. So this is what I do, so I don't end up in letting them getting into any kind of side control, whether it's traditional or like a north-south position. And I may go ahead and post that video after you drop this, and then people can watch. So there you go. It has some of the concepts that Michelle talks about a lot too.
Is there anyone that has either like changed the way you taught or like really added something where you're like, I really like how they do this, and not just like how they teach a move?
Okay. So now it's going to sound super cheesy, but Ray has changed the way I've taught a lot. He has he teaches a lot. Like he trains the special forces fifth group up at Fort Campbell. So he trains like very elite soldiers in the mornings, to teaching the 3 to 5 year olds and the adults in the evenings in jiu-jitsu. So he does a lot of teaching. And I think that has given him the opportunity to learn a very unique skill set to convey information in a way that makes people learn easier, but also doesn't insult them. So I have worked really, and still sometimes I'm not good at it, but I've worked on my delivery of my information instead of being so angry or grumpy about it. Sometimes being like, why can't you figure this out? To having a better delivery about it. Because then I remember there was days when I couldn't figure it out either. His delivery and approach to teaching, and he teaches very small details, and he doesn't overwhelm people with the amount of knowledge. Like, especially just in a regular class, he is good about knowing exactly how much he can teach, so it's beneficial. And then on the next like class, like the next D class or whatever, he'll add to that. We revisit what we did, and then we add to it just enough to where you're still getting the technique and the drills, but you're still learning something new in that session. So I would say, and to be honest, he's the person that I take the most classes from. So he's probably, it's easiest, the person I've learned the most from.
I love that.
What's something people might not know about you?
That's funny. We've done a lot of these. So I figure everyone knows I hate purple hair.
favorite color, chartreuse.
Yeah, right.
Miss Salisbury steak.
Oh, yes. That came out early on in the years. Let's see. Something people don't know about me. I'm actually very domestic. I like baking. I make banana bread and cookies and all that kind of stuff. I just don't really share that much with people. I am a hardcore holiday decorator. So like, you come to my house at Christmas, it's going to look like someone threw up Christmas. Like it is, it is, I am intense, not just like inside, outside, all the rooms. So yeah, I do. I like my holiday decor, much to the dismay of, not so much Ray anymore, because I make Alex pull all of it out of the attic and stuff. But yeah.
I love the holiday decor.
Yes, I love all of that.
The giant tree.
Yes, all the things. I just love all of it. And I think I get that from my mom. She was always a big holiday decorator. And it's not something most people would think of me if they met me in person, because I don't seem like that type. But I definitely got it from my mom, and I embrace it wholeheartedly. So,
also former cheerleader.
Yes.
Marine.
So that's funny. That's funny. My daughter, so I was a hardcore cheerleader, like not just, oh, I was on the shin squad. Like I was intense about it. It's probably where I got my voice. Everyone thinks I got my voice, like my commanding voice for the Marine Corps. I think I had it from cheerleading. My daughter tried out. So she's very much into volleyball. She plays school volleyball and she plays club volleyball, travel club volleyball. That's a lot. School volleyball is like in the fall, and then travel club starts like in January, but there's like a 2 or 3 month window there where she wasn't doing anything this year. And so she asked if she could try out for basketball cheerleading for next year. And I said, sure. Caught me a little off guard. And I was like, you do realize you have to smile, kiddo, right? Because Debbie's not really known for being cheery. And she's like, yeah, but she made it. She made the team. She's actually very good because she's very particular about everything. So she's going to, as she said, follow in my footsteps and cheer. So we'll see how that goes.
That's adorable. I love that.
I mean, she's very good. Like, I was impressed. They had to learn to cheer and to dance, you know, and do all of it. And I mean, she was a competitive gymnast for years before she hurt her back. So she has that ability to, you know, control her body movements and everything. But I think she'll enjoy it. I hope she does. It'll be at least a new experience. She cheered when she was real young, like, you know, like little peewee football cheerleading, but she went into gymnastics instead. So we'll see how her dad does with going to the basketball games to support her as a cheerleader. So, like, I don't think he's excited about that, but he will be going.
Speaking of following in your footsteps, you know, a lot of parents, especially when both of them do jujitsu at as high level as you guys, force their kids to do jujitsu. Like, you will do jujitsu. Tell us your stance on that.
We don't. So that's the first part. Gabby does not do jujitsu. She has taken a class when she was younger, and she took a couple classes when she was older, like last year, you know. It's just not her thing. And she is mature enough to articulate the fact that she won't work hard if it's not something that she's all in for. Like, she played softball last year for the first time for school and made the team, and then the coach wanted her to try out this year, and she said, no, I'm going to do travel club volleyball. And then she asked me if I was mad. I was like, no, why are you mad? She's like, Mom, I could play softball, but I don't like it enough to work hard. And I was like, fair.
Yep.
I can appreciate that from her. I mean, she doesn't dislike jujitsu. She goes to tournaments all the time. You know, it is what it is. It's just not something she's going to dive into, I think. And we're okay with that. And then Tristan, our youngest, he loves jujitsu, doesn't do it. He will grapple a little bit after class against Alex or I or Ray or somebody or some of the kids. But he, I cannot tell. It's been years, 5, 6, I don't know, a lot of years since he actually took a class. He just doesn't want to do that. Now, he can tell you the name of every high level gi, no gi, black belt, female, male, what tournaments they're doing, what, you know, who they beat, who they lost to, what submission it was. He's really a savant when it comes to all of that. Better than Ray and I and Alex.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
We'll say something and Tristan will be like, no, that's not correct. It's blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no, you're wrong. And then we'll look it up and be like, well, shit, that little turd was right. Like, but so he loves watching jujitsu. He will go to, like, he'll probably go to the adult worlds with Alex and Ray and them. He would be at PANS right now, except that Alex didn't go because he's doing ADCC next weekend. And Tristan also has his opening ceremonies for his baseball team this Saturday. So, like last year, Tristan went to PANS. He goes to the big tournaments. He's a true fan. He wants to meet the people. He wants to watch them. He doesn't just want an autograph. He wants to watch them fight. Like, he wants to be right there and watch them fight. So I can appreciate that. And we just haven't pushed him to do classes. If he keeps saying he wants to do a tournament, every once in a while he says, I want to fight. I was like, well, that's cool. You got to do a class. You got to do classes first.
Yeah.
We're not just going to put you into a tournament. That's not how it works. If he decides he wants to, then we'll be here to support that. But if he decides he just wants to be a fan, that's totally fine with us too. You know, my kids are very different, and they're both very different from Ray and I too. And we've just decided to embrace that instead of try to push our likes and dislikes on them. Tristan will also tell you if you lose a match that your jiu-jitsu is trash. So just be prepared. If you think that I am straightforward and, like, a little direct, Tristan is worse. He has told Angelina and Shayna that their jiu-jitsu is garbage and that's why they haven't won certain things. So,
or that somebody craps the bed.
Oh, yeah. So-and-so shit the bed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has told people that I have said that. Like, oh yeah, it's great. So you have to watch what you say around him because he will go and snitch you out in a heartbeat and just enjoy the fallout from it and watch. I'm pretty sure he probably gets that from me because I like to stir the pot. I refer to it as being direct and confrontational and not being passive aggressive. Tristan just likes to see where it all falls out. So it's fine. Just make sure you watch your mouth, which say around Chubbs, because he'll repeat it.
So. Just talking a brief moment about PANS. This is your first year not going to PANS in a long time. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, so there's a lot of emotions with that. Well, let's put it this way. Let's start with this. The reason I'm not at PANS right now and not competing is that Gabby has travel club volleyball this weekend. It's an away tournament, so we're traveling to Gatlinburg. And I want to watch her play. I enjoy watching her play volleyball. And it was just not going to work out. I looked at, you know, if I was going to fight on Friday, could I get a flight back and then get to Gatlinburg? But I might have fought on Saturday. You know, the pre-schedule is never certain. And I just decided that it wasn't worth it, that I would take Gabby to volleyball. I have had some ups and downs with it. I've been pretty okay up until, like, this weekend.
Yeah.
I think it means a lot to me because I've competed the last 10 years. The last time I did not compete at the PANS, Tristan was in my stomach. So he's 10. I've won the last 10 years. Last year sucked because the girl wouldn't fight me, but it is what it is. So I had a good streak. I had a good streak going. But I reminded myself that everything comes to an end. And at least I get to make the decision on my terms. It wasn't on my Alzheimer's terms. You know, I could have fought this year. I wanted to fight this year. I'm going to be doing some local tournaments. I think I'm going to do National Open. So that'll be in about a month or 3 weeks or something like that. But I've been okay with it. I've come to terms with it until everyone realized this week that I wasn't going. And everyone's asking, well, that sucks. Why aren't you going? I'm like, yeah, can we not bring it up? Like, say it that way.
Yeah, helpful.
I'm choosing helpful, to be happy that I'm spending the weekend watching my daughter do something that she loves to do versus me not doing a tournament that I've enjoyed for over a decade. And literally the only reason I haven't done since I started doing jiu-jitsu, my first PANS was 2000. That's not when I started jiu-jitsu, but my first PANS was in 2009. And the only time I've missed PANS is when I've been pregnant. I was pregnant in March with both Gabby and Tristan. So the years that I was pregnant, I missed those PANS. But other than that, I haven't missed a PAN since then. But it's a new season in life. And that's just how it works. So
I know that I think it was a easy decision or fairly easy decision for you at first because you were like, I'm doing this for Gabby. I know it's been harder as, you know, it got closer and the weekend of and everything. But like, I think all in all, like, it's just another thing that that makes you a role model.
You have to put things in perspective. And for me, it was like, yeah, I could go. And of course, I don't go just to show up. I'm not going just to get a medal. I'm going to win. Like, I want to win. I'm not that. That's who I am, especially at this tournament. But the value that I would put on winning it again, and I've been fortunate enough, I won 11 times, right? And the value added to that was not worth what I'd miss for the weekend with Gabby. I mean, 11, 12. After you win and won, like, don't get me wrong, I love winning the PANS. It's a great experience. But I will say, after you've done it a couple of times, you're like, okay, well, what's the next challenge, right? And that's not saying that I won't continue to go back to compete as long as I'm able to, as long as my Alzheimer's is under control. You know, next year I'm Master 4. So, you know, bring on all us old ladies, right? But yeah, because the past like 2 or 3 years, all these new people are coming into Master 3. And I'm like, where did y'all come from? I'm like, oh, you're 40. That's why. yeah. So it was an easy decision, like you said. And it was a priority for me was my children at this point. And I will say when I competed, when I was a lower belt, or not even a lower belt, but just the years before, they probably got the short end of the stick on that. And that's something that I do regret, but I can make choices now that fix that. And this choice was an easy choice to make. This week is harder because I get, like, I'm getting messages, you're not here, like people from other teams and everything, you know?
Yeah.
You're not fighting. They're like, I saw Ray, where are you? You know, sort of things. And I was like, I am at home with Gabby. And they're like, that sucks. I'm like, it doesn't, but I appreciate you pointing. I get it because they're in the heart of their competing stage, and that's okay. Every season comes to an end, and, you know, that may just – Ray likes – whenever I say that, he's like, you're not done competing. I'm like, I don't think I'm done competing, but I may be done chasing those dreams for a while.
Yeah, and maybe just done for now, putting it first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to, you know, Ray, of course, was like, you go and I'll stay and I'll take Gabby. I was like, absolutely not. I'm a good coach. Ray's a much better coach than I am. And he needs to be there for the whole team. I have no problem saying that. And he actually ended up registering and he's going to fight on Saturday, which is exciting because he said he wasn't competing at all this year.
Yeah, we wondered about that.
But he's worse than I am. He's like, I'm going to, like, literally like a week ago, like the day before, he registered the last day the Pans was open. So I'm going to fight. I'm going to be there. We're only taking like 10. Usually we take like 15, 17 between our gym, but we're only taking like 10. And he's like, they're all spread out. So I'll be able to fight and not have to, you know, coach 12 that day. I was like, that's good. So he's going to fight, which I'm excited about. It'll be his first match as Master 5. So we'll see how that goes. But he's in great shape. Other than he didn't step on a scale until Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, he had to fly out. He hadn't stepped on a scale at all. I was like, we should check your weight.
Yeah.
And he was under when he was wearing his light gi. So he's fine. But that would have drove me bananas. That's just not who I am. I'm a person that prepares for things. And Ray's probably like, we're just going to wing it. All right, cool.
All right. Well, we have definitely taken a lot of your time today.
But mainly because I couldn't figure out how to use the Chrome thing and and how to get on the podcast. So sorry about that, ladies.
It's just fine. I was having my own technical issues.
This is why I had an assistant and a paralegal when I practiced law, because technology is not my strong suit.
I have both of those things, but also a degree in technology.
So. Yeah, well, you choose to, and this is my excuse of saying that I don't want to learn. So now I can just blame it on my Alzheimer's. Before I was just like, oh, I don't know. Now I'm like, yeah, I'm not.
I'm a lady. I don't know how to use technology.
Maybe next time I'll actually be in Ray's podcast room and we can do it there.
Fancy.
Thank you very much. We definitely look forward to seeing you. I know, you know, we're going to see you down at your gym some and obviously at Role Model Camp starting off on Thursday for our unofficial kickoff. It'll be all camp instructors that night. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
That's fun. So,
more details to come. Well, thank you very much. We love you. Of course, we're obsessed with you.
I love you all too. And I'm so glad that no one has purple hair now.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe. For now. Yeah. I thought you were growing it out.
I could still do it purple.
Okay.
Just for you.
I thought we were past this phase in our life. So
it's not a phase, Mom.
The purple hair. Hey, dude, I took the short haircut in stride, bro.
You did. I called you ahead of time.
You did. You warned me before you got to my gym the next day, but I took it in stride. I was like, I love it. You look great. You always look great, AJ. So it was never that. It's just, I'm just not a purple hair person. Like, you can ask any of my girls. Not a purple hair.
At one point, it was short and purple, and Rachel almost died. Like, oh, God. Rachel short circuiting.
It's like, no. But
love your hair.
You should get me to say that on camera and put it as your ringer for me.
I love your hair.
Say it.
Okay, you want me to say it right now?
Now's the time.
I love your hair.
I'll feel so good every time you call. Where can they find us?
Oh, they can find us at Beauty and the Geek Podcast on Instagram. And I'm hanging out there at Brassy Broad Jen and on TikTok, as long as we can still get on TikTok.
I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, except TikTok, where I'm role_model.
I'm J Riz in the His on Instagram.
I did not know that was your Instagram. I am never on social media, but I'm basically the only thing I'm on is Facebook, Rachel Morrison Casillas. You can find me. Apparently I have an Instagram, but I've never been on it. So
I actually think you might have two.
I think I do, yeah. But I didn't make either one of those, I promise you. And I have no idea how to access them. So if you need me, I'm where the old people are on Facebook, and you can send me a message. Or you can find AJ, and she'll contact me.
Yeah. So we'll see everyone at camp.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you
on the mat.